Organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And as you already know, and if you don't know, you can learn, go to PACTSINC.org to learn more about the organization, their codes of conduct, how to become a member, if you want to donate, how to do that, how to get involved more. And if you hover your mouse over the More tab, you see a drop-down menu where you can see a store or a learning center. Got a lot of resources, a lot of products that you can use. So www.pactsinc.org. And while you're online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com to learn more about myself, Patrick, the plethora of podcasts that we have, and everything that we're doing moving forward. So once again, that's www.freedomtrainradio.com. We always go down, and if you want to be cool, you have to listen to us. Ain't that right, Pat?
Man, I was fixing to go.
Go where?
I was finna spit.
Oh, rap. Go ahead.
Nah, it's too late. The beat stopped and you did the intro and all that. But, you know, I was like, turn me up in my headphones. You know, I was finna.
Man, you've been saying that for 5 years.
Well, this was going to be the day.
That's messed up, man. We need some diversity in your approach, though.
Hey, yeah, you don't need diversity when you have suspense.
Okay. All right. So you Stephen King now. All right.
No, all right. I'm not Stephen King. That's an old white man. Anyway. All
right. Well, you could be what's a good black dude name? What's a good black dude name? Treverius King. How about that?
Ron Travis. Don't make movies. Like I need you to get your
who's
director game up.
Who's the man that just made it up?
I don't know. Hey, man, look, don't be judging me.
Yeah, like the dude did us, except, well, he got major flaws. Never mind.
Whatever. All right, so we're talking health today. Are you healthy, Pat?
I'm healthy, man. Who we got?
See?
I'm not healthy for real. Who we got?
You're not. All right, so.
I don't know.
Let me set the story up for you, okay?
I ain't been to a doctor in 10 years, man. I don't know if I'm healthy or not.
Well, you're going to learn today. You're going to learn a little more about why you need to go, all right?
I'm a black man. We don't go to the doctor.
Hey, we don't have good credit either, but I do. So that's a lie.
Who we got?
So, all right. I think it was December or January. I went to an event to help you develop and expand your brand.
Not like me. So just clear that. Not like me, right? Like
who?
Like you're saying you as in like the audience. Like you are like you as in like you as an individual. If you went, like when you say you, it's like I'm just clarifying
right.
That.
I'm as Joseph.
It's y'all, are anybody in, you know, in attendance, you.
Okay. Whatever you're saying. I'm going to let you have it. You won. But anyway, at the event, was a young lady there that had a very nice platform called Tiny Thoughts Initiatives. And so her name is Nurse Sharina. She has over 10 years of experience in nursing. She has extensive experience in medical intensive care, informatics, and school health. She has concentrated her work in both Georgia and Florida, but has aspirations to travel internationally with her business, Tiny Docs Initiatives, LLC. She is irrationally passionate about finding ways to combine her nursing experience and gift of teaching young, beautiful minds. That's how Tiny Docs Initiatives were born. It is a creative way to teach children the knowledge it takes to be part of the healthcare field, increase their awareness of becoming leaders, and to learn possibly future-altering, life-changing skills. So I want everybody to get up out of their seats and put their hands together for Nurse Shireen. Welcome, 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 welcome.
Hello. That's awesome. I love that applause.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I made Pat record 100 takes. He thought he was talking junk one day, so I rasped him to the ground and made him record 100 takes.
Those are facts. Got that. So 100 takes.
That is
classic.
Perfect. That is perfect. Love it.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for being here with us, and we're anxious to learn more about you.
Yes, thank you for having me.
No problem.
So, when we were going back and forth, she was the one that you heard say the producer of Us. And so I was like, nah, because I'm married to a black woman and he married to a white one. So that don't work.
Oh,
either.
Lord.
So you more like... John Singleton. Then.
No, I realized that, one, I wanted to let people know who they heard, and two, I wanted to clarify when I said he had some major flaws, that's in comparison to me, because I'm not married to a white woman.
Okay. And you married to a black woman. Okay.
So, you know, but if you married to a white woman, that's on you, man. Do what you do, man. You got to sleep with her, not me, so I ain't got no opinions on it.
But... Now let me stop being gay. Okay. But you know how we do. Pat, you got the first question, man. Let's kick this thing off. All
right, so first up, Tiny Docs dot doctor. That's not what it is, but I felt like saying it. Can you give us some background information on, you know, who you are and what inspired you to become a nurse? Was there like a Tiny Docs back in the day that wasn't called Tiny Docs that taught you how to do chest compressions and you caved somebody junk in and then you was like, nah,
oh
fuck that. I'm gonna bring you back to health so that I could beat you up again. And that's how you went out to be a nurse, right?
Not exactly.
He gave you the Marvel version.
Seriously, like I just saw Captain Marvel last night, and
see?
Yeah, I'm not from this place. I'm from out somewhere. But I can say with my history, I did. I'm raised in a military family. Everybody in my family was in the Army. Had single parent household with my mom, but my dad was in the picture. They were both in the military. So everywhere that my mom went, she went to Hawaii with my sister and I. Guess what? My dad tried to get stationed in Hawaii. I'm from Georgia because I was raised in Georgia the majority of my life. He came back and got stationed in Georgia with us. So I always had that structure. And then in high school, I went to a magnet high school, A.R. Johnson Health Sciences and Engineering. And at that magnet high school, my track was health sciences. And that's what geared me towards, I either want to be a nurse or a doctor. And I had my choice, you know, because you're in high school, you have a choice of what college you want to go to, what your major is going to be. And I chose to become a nurse. At the high school, we had clinicals, and we went into the hospitals or daycares and whatever. And that is how I made my decision to become a registered nurse. Went to college and got my experience, and here I am with that.
So let me ask this about your high school. Was it like a magnet high school, or was it a high school with a magnet program?
It was a magnet high school. Everyone had a track. It was, you had to take a test to get in. It was 9th through 12th grade. After you took that test, you had to select what field you wanted to do. You either could do dental, health, or engineering. It was free. Like, it was a public school, but they were, you were selected, you know. So it wasn't like a regular public school, and a select few of gifted kids are taking all of these excellent classes. This was the entire school is smart kids that chose to go here. I love that. I don't, in, we're in Tallahassee, I don't really see that in Tallahassee. I do see a certain schools that have implanted in the school all of those gifted kids. But I don't see the entire school full of, well, I guess I do a little bit, but not to my standard of what I went to in high school.
Well, let's put it like this. I know for myself, I'm speaking for myself, I don't know both of us, we're from Tallahassee here. I didn't know what a magnet school was until I got to college and listening to other people talk about magnet schools. So to be able to even conceive the thought of being able to take those tracks in high school or any other level, to me, I didn't even know it existed. So, you know, that's why you're not seeing that here, because it's not here.
Well,
yeah, okay.
What they have,
well, I know,
and that's
schools that they're called magnet schools. I've never been in those schools that, you know, that we have in Tallahassee, but they're called magnet schools. I'm like, well, maybe it's kind of like the high school I went to.
To be fair, now they do have new. We're talking like brand new schools, like brand new within the last 5 or 10 years, maybe not even 10 years. That these brand new schools that are around that are a bit different and on a different track. But when we were coming up, it was none of that sort.
Right.
Well, that's why I asked, because we went to a high school with a magnet program, and they called the entire, you know, like they would refer to the high school as a magnet school, but we know that it was really just like the IB program at Rickards. The IB kids was different. And it was the same. I think Fairview had an IB program as well. But it wasn't like the entire school. It was just like the kids in that program. So that's why I asked, because there's a difference. Because, like, we went through that school, and what I got out of it was, like, learning how to be a part of general population in prison. And so,
oh, my goodness. Let me tell you. I heard somebody say something about general population. I said, what are we talking about, prison? Like, what are you talking about? Is there a Fairview? Because I'm not from Tallahassee. We've been here, my husband and I, we've been here like 6 to 8 years. So, and we have little ones. So I'm not familiar with middle school and high school yet. So when she said general population, I said, is there like a Fairview prison here or something? She was like, oh, no, we're talking about middle school. And you call it general population? What does that mean? How does that make kids feel when they are not those special programs?
You're the regulars.
Basically, it was because our 9th grade year was the first year of the IB program. So the IB kids practically was at a whole nother school. So they were literally separated from us. So it was IB. Then within the general population, you had different levels. You had the advanced placements kids, and then you had the regular students. Then you had the regular students. Then you had the students who stayed in the same class all one day, like that's one class all day. And so, you know, general population is everybody who's not IB. And most of those IB kids didn't look like us.
Yeah, they had that. Their own teachers, their own equipment, their own, like, I know some of the AP courses, because I took some AP courses, and some of the IB teachers taught the AP courses, but if you weren't taking an AP course and you weren't in IB, you didn't have an IB teacher, and they was all kind of like on one wing of the school. Like it was different. And so, like I was telling Joe in the phone call the other day, I didn't even find out until I got in that IP course, that AP course. You know, like the general population kids at the time, we weren't calling ourselves general population. That's what the IB kids were calling us.
Wow.
And so I guess at some point it caught on to where even like the regular kids, and I hate to call them regular, but the kids that weren't in the IB program, you know, they started identifying as general population. But it was, you know, Rickards was a crazy school. That was a wild experience. But anyways, I didn't want to, you know, go all on topic.
But I do want to go back to something you said about the clinicals and things, because it sets up for this next question. Because right now with my job, we go out. Well, part of the clinicals for the FAMU and FSU nurses is to come out with us as we do our HIV outreach within the streets. So we're in Leon and Gaston County doing various things. So we get to kind of show them the real world, because that's what we do. We're working in the real world. So from your experience as a nurse, and we know that there are different levels of nursing, but from your perspective and the things that you've seen, what are some of the most important lessons that nurses should be learning to be successful when you're dealing with like real people in the real world, not some stage setting, but a real setting? So what advice or information do you think like nurses should be gathering?
Well, so I have two things. The first one is when I got out of school, I graduated in 2016, and I went back home to Augusta, Georgia, and worked on a telemetry floor. So, and telemetry is like heart, all about the heart, cardiac. So I saw pretty much every walks of life come through that floor. So me being a new, fresh nurse, like you said, it's all textbook. It's not real world. It is, I'm getting out. I know what to do. I know how to prioritize. Let's do this. So I had this one guy, I was doing discharge orders for him, printed everything out. He had congestive heart failure. So he was going to go home and take these medicine and go to his doctor in 30 days. And if he had these signs and symptoms, he would need to call the doctor. So I printed out all of this pamphlet full of all this good information. You know, and I feel good about it because I have educated him. I feel like I've set him up for success. So I send him off. I'm like, all right, thank you so much. See you never, ever again, right? So in about a week, he came back, and I said, Mr. Johnson, that's not his real name, by the way, why are you back? Like, did you take all your medicine? Did you go see the doctor? Did you look at those signs and symptoms that I printed out for you? And, you know, you should have, if you saw all of that, then you should have went to the doctor instead of coming back to the ER. And you know what he said to me? And I feel so bad because I assumed. He said, baby, I can't read. So when you were giving me all of that stuff, I took it. But I cannot read. So I don't know. I mean, our conversation kind of went over my head, and I was just ready to go. I'm like, my goodness. I assumed that he was able to read all of that good information that I was giving him. And I assumed that he was able to comprehend everything that I was saying. So from then on, that was like a reality check for me. Because even though, I mean, I went to school, and at that time I just had a bachelor's degree, but I got all that education, but no one told me that people in the world don't know how to read and won't tell you that they don't understand. So number one, for nursing students, for anybody that going to be working in the community, don't assume that they know something. Don't assume that they have those resources available to them.
Right.
Don't assume that they know that resources are available. Don't assume that they have a phone or a car, or they know, or even if they can get out of the house to go to the food pantry or whatever. Don't make assumptions.
Yeah.
Ask the question, do you understand? What can I help you with? Because if I would have took that approach with him, then he probably wouldn't have came back into the hospital through the ER a week later. Probably would have just waited, you know, took all of his, you know, maybe he couldn't even afford his medicine. Then I could have worked on getting vouchers for him through case management. So don't assume anything, like nothing.
Yeah.
Until
matter
you know
fact,
and have a relationship with them.
Yeah. Matter of fact, when we were out doing some of our outreach just 2 months ago, as a matter of fact, now that I really think about it, I've already encountered two adults this year who can't read. And when we're out doing our outreach and the nurses are out with us, and then just being able to see the real conditions that people live in, because you might have a person who is fully educated but had some horrible luck, and this is the conditions that they're in at this moment, and just all these things. So like you said, being able to actually have a human-to-human conversation with that person to build that rapport to them.
Hold on. How can you be fully educated and illiterate?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, there's sometimes some people who are fully educated but may have had bad luck. And not that they're illiterate, they had bad luck and they ended up on the streets or something. That's what I mean.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah, because
I worked in behavioral health for a little while, and a lot of our patients that came in were homeless. Fully educated, smart, PhD. People, like, they are physicists and scientists, you know, but they're homeless because maybe they got addicted to drugs, or, you know, they went bankrupt because they couldn't manage their money, or something, somebody died in their life and they just couldn't cope and overcome that. So, yeah, I see what you're saying. Like, it's hard on people. And so my second takeaway for new nurses is, if you don't have it, you need to gain critical thinking skills. Like, you need that for life. It's not even in nursing. I tell my little ones this all the time. Every action that you take has a reaction, good or bad. But if you don't think through that critically, then you might make that decision and it might be okay, it might be right, but you might make that decision and it could be dead wrong, and you could, like, severely get punished for it or get penalized for it. So if you don't have critical thinking skills, take a course, or, like, find somebody that can help you to build that, so you can, like, gain it, because you need
right.
that for life. I don't think, since we have so many like middle class and high class people in the world, and our kids feel so privileged because they have so much, they're not really getting that, the critical thinking, because we're giving it to them. Like, we're giving them everything that they want or need. And it could be as small as, like, my six-year-old is learning how to spell. Mommy, how do you say this? I am not going to tell you. You sound out each and every word, each and every sound of those letters, and then you come back to me and let me know what the word is. And if you're close to it, then I'll let you know. So, I mean, that's small, but if I build it now, then later on, they can not freak out and cope with what's going on and think about it later on in life.
Exactly.
With my nurses that are still in school, and I went to a lot of, I had a lot of nursing colleagues that were on antidepressant drugs and anti-anxiety drugs because they had, like, coping issues.
Right.
But if you learn how to think critically and learn how to cope, then you might still need the drugs for a little while, but you need to learn how to deal with life.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. Yeah. So we got to pull out the big guns for this interview because we like this healthcare talk and we want to get a little more perspective on this nursing. So we have a friend of the show. Tammy is her name, and she's on the line. She's also a nurse. We want to get a little nurse-to-nurse interaction going on. So Nurse Serena, meet Nurse Tammy.
Hey, it's Miss Tammy. Nurse Tammy.
Hey, girl. Hey. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. I missed the first thing that she said about that. I guess you guys asked the two things new nurses need, or did you? Is that what?
Well, I was asking what information or what lessons and things do you think nurses would need to learn to be able to be successful in the real world, dealing with real patients?
So I heard critical thinking, and then what was the first one?
Don't assume, like, I had a patient that couldn't read, but I was giving him all of these pamphlets that he could take home to read.
Right.
Assume he was able to read. So just don't assume anything. Don't assume that they can go to the store and get their medicine. Don't assume that they can even go to the store. Like, they know how
to ride the bus. Right.
Yeah. So,
right, because I sure don't know how to ride the bus. It's a lost cause. You're going to have to come find me. I know how to get downtown. That's about it.
Hey, I want to go back real quick and clarify something. So earlier when I asked Joe the question about how can you be fully educated and illiterate, I knew totally what you meant. I was just asking that for the audience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know technical Ted, I know.
Yeah, I just want to make, you know, have that be clear to let the audience know that I'm here for y'all. You know, I got y'all back. So that's all.
Yeah.
But you know what, Patrick? The other thing is, if you can say you're fully educated and you go through school and you get your degree, because of the way our school system is now, if you are quiet in the classroom, if you're a little bit helpful in the classroom and you kind of get good grades, you can skate by and still not understand anything that's going on in grade.
Like, she needs to be a teacher because we have those issues right now. RAT now.
Right. That's true. So
yeah. But you're not fully. Cause I'm technical Ted, like he called me, so I'm kind of like, yeah. But if you go all the way through school and you can't read,
you can't sit in my face
and tell me you're fully educated. Like, I got some choice words for you.
All right, okay, I got it.
Yeah. If you like that, yeah. But that's how his brain be working.
Yeah, that's accurate. That is exactly how my brain works.
Yeah. So now. I want to ask this, and I want to set this up because, Serena, I want to ask you first, and then Tammy, I want to get your thoughts on it as well. But, Serena, as I was going through your website, I saw that you had experience in different aspects of nursing, and you know you have different skill sets when you come to the table. So, can you give us a little information about the different fields of different aspects of nursing that you worked in, and kind of some of the information that you or like the real lesson that you've gained from these different fields of nursing?
So, so I can say first that I love nursing, right? Like, I love that. I know, right?
Man, you got to be passionate, man. This is a ministry. Like, you can't just be like, I'm going to roll through this for the money. Like, To be honest, like, they don't pay us enough for that, so.
Not at all. And I work for the state now, and I know I don't get paid enough. But anyway, so when I graduated, I went into cardiac telemetry, which is all about the heart. I did a little bit of travel nursing, post-op care, ICU, informatics. I have my master's degree in informatics, which is like nursing plus computers equals nursing informatics. And then behavior health, and now I am a school nurse.
Okay.
So
you're a school nurse?
Yes, ma'am.
I can't get in there to save my life. I'm not saying something right.
Uh-oh. Are you in Tallahassee?
No. But I'm not saying something right. They asked me this question that was like, if you had a diabetic patient that came in with a 55 blood sugar, and then somebody came in with a nosebleed, and then somebody told you that there was somebody on the playground that had been injured, what do you do? And I think something about my answer is not sitting right with them. So
what
that might be an aftermath conversation.
Okay, yeah, because I'm curious. I want to continue this, conversation. So, yes, but I do love school nursing. It's in a special needs school, so everybody needs us in the clinic, and I love that. The one thing that my takeaway from nursing right now, where I sit right now, is that I know my value. I know that, like, traditionally when people say, oh, you're a nurse? Oh, okay. And I've known nurses like this. They've been at one job for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Not anymore. My generation, and I think the generation right before me, we don't do that anymore. We know when we know our value, and we know when it's time to leave. For Black nurses, but in the ICU, I worked at night, and most of the nurses that worked night shift were Black. That's like traditionally throughout all of my jobs. If I worked night shift, most of the nurses that worked night shift were Black. I don't know why. We got paid more. I don't know.
It's the pay, and they're multitasking. A lot of them are going back to school. A lot of them are trying to maintain their families in the process during the daytime. But a lot of it boils down to the pay and then child care. During the daytime.
And it worked. Yeah. When I was working in ICU, I worked weekend night. And I didn't have family for a little while, and then I did, and I still did weekend night because it worked for me during the week.
Right.
But my takeaway right now is I know what I'm worth. When I don't feel valued in my job, and I see a bunch of mistakes that aren't changing, I see that staffing is low, and you go up to the manager, you know, and sometimes their hands are tied, but sometimes they just don't care. and you just try to get help, and you can't, and you put your license at risk. You know your value as a registered nurse. Know that you can go somewhere else, use all of your skills, gain more skills, because you don't have to stay in one place. And unless that's your dream, unless you want to be in management and keep on going forward, you can go back to school to be a nurse practitioner. You can go back to school and get your PhD. You can go back to school and do something completely different and still use your nursing skills. So nurses too. So, hey, just know know your value. That is my takeaway right now. Like, I'm an entrepreneur, and I'm still working in school health. And I have a family, and I'm fully involved. You know, people say part-time, full-time. I'm full-time at everything that I do.
Right.
So,
don't blame me.
Well, I'm trying to be like her when I grow up. I'm sure my husband will be like,
"Hey, so tell me what
part time at this, part time at that."
So tell me what different aspects of nursing have you been had experience with?
Hey, you want the takeaway from each of them?
What overall takeaway? Not necessarily from each, but like an overall that you got from your experience.
So I guess I'll just run through the career and then give you the overall. So started out in GYN surge oncology.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, because they hired too many new nurses, which is I'll point that takeaway out, I went to orthopedic. And then from there, I went travel nursing, did geriatric, picked up two new skills, neurosurgery, got into ambulatory nursing with bariatric surgery, and then got married, and came to the Carolinas where I did heme oncology in the clinic. Went back into the hospital, did acute care rehab, and then I've been floating back in between the clinics now because I'm a float nurse. And so my biggest takeaway, I have probably about three. One is it's so good to pick up new skills. I have no slight against, like she said, the nurses that stay for 30 years. If they can grow in those positions, I think it's fantastic. I don't think you should do the same job, you know, for 30 years. But if you're on the floor as a floor nurse, move up to the educator, you know, become a preceptor, then go to clinical supervisor, I don't see anything wrong with that. So grabbing skills, not being afraid to grab the skills, make sure you have the proper training when you're grabbing these skills, because that's the thing, they'll throw you out there. The other thing is the new nurse to experienced nurse ratio needs to be adequate, because when you have a splurge, like, I think splurge is the word, but a bunch of new nurses versus old nurses, you get in trouble on the floor. It's a dangerous situation. And so, and even into that, moving forward, what I've learned as of the last couple years is healthcare sucks. And I've learned that from being in the ambulatory setting, because on the acute care side, everything is right then, right now, right then, right now. Insurance doesn't matter because you have to take care of the patient by law. But when you get into the ambulatory setting, you find out what insurance really means, what politics really means, what these policies are about, how you need to vote, how you need to advocate for you as well as your patient, as well as your family members. So over the last few years, I would say the vast experience that I've had has built me to where I am now, and I see myself rolling up into politics because this shit is crazy.
Yes, ma'am.
But that's, I appreciate what both of you are saying, because that's what we like to do here, is get the real perspectives on these from these topics and these fields that we always like to talk about when we're interviewing people, because that's what we owe the people, the truth, and to be honest. And I do appreciate that. But I also appreciate you guys shedding light on the various aspects that goes into nursing, because when I was a child, I thought a nurse was just a doctor's helper. And so not understanding how important a nurse is.
Is the bread and butter, baby.
I know. That's what I know now. And being able to get that first-hand information, though, That's what it is. Pat, you still with us?
Yeah, he's here.
I'm here. Go ahead, Nurse Sharina. I'm sorry.
Oh, this is okay. I just saw a quote somewhere, and so the patient was saying, I want to see the doctor in charge. I want somebody to tell me what's going on. And the nurse said, do you really want to see the doctor, or do you want to see the nurse that has been with you for 48 hours and really knows what's going on with you, your lab, your body, your x-ray? Do you want to see the doctor or the nurse? Let me know. I'm like, yes, that is true. Like, do you want to see the doctor that's been with you for 5 minutes? No offense to doctors. I have a brother-in-law. Love him. He's a doctor. My sister-in-law is a pharmacist. But don't belittle the nurse, because she has the knowledge and she has been with you for 48 hours or longer, depending on where you are and what you're doing. And she has talked to your family members, collaborated with the case management and PT and OT, radiology. Like, she has all of those relationships too. So don't just say you don't know what's going on. Let me go talk to the doctor.
Well,
right.
To add to that, I think that when I say the nurses are the bread and butter, I can rephrase that by saying I agree to an extent. Like, I agree that you want to see the nurse, but on the real, like, these people go to school for, like, 8 years or whatever for a reason, and I'm not going to claim to have their level of expertise. I'm going to claim to be knowledgeable. I'm going to claim to be confident in what I'm not confident in. You know, I'll seek the answer. However, it's from the doctors that I have learned how to identify certain things in conjunction with experience. So when I say bread and butter, I like to say, like, the nurses are kind of like the meat of the sandwich. You know, we go to them with the assessment, the review of the patient and things of their nature. Now, at that point, it is up to the doctor. Because I don't claim to die. Like, I make assumptions. I say, well, you might have this, you might have that. Because, you know, nurse's
right.
position is not to diagnose unless you're an MP. So I don't, you know, diagnose, but I'll say you might have this, you might have that. I recommend this. And even when I go to the doctor, can I do this? I think this is what's going on. And I look for them to agree and or disagree because I'm expecting them to have the next level knowledge to, you know, be able to complete the puzzle. Even if I have the middle pieces, I'm expecting them to encompass my middle with the outer pieces, with the step up level of expertise. So at some point, when you have an old head nurse that's been in the same thing for a while, I think when you jump around, you can't get that same level of experience. But if you had an old nurse that's practicing in the same thing, I'm sure she can run head to head with a doctor. But for somebody like me who's jumped from, you know, XYZ to XYZ to XYZ, I don't know that I would have the same level of expertise in GI that a doctor that's been practicing for 30 years when I've only been in it for a year. So even though I've been with the patient for 48 hours, yeah, talk to me, don't belittle me, you know, but at the same token, I'm going to take that information that you gave and I'm going to pass it on, because at the end of the day, that's why they're getting paid six figures, not me.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and it's all about collaboration.
Like, right.
You have to work together. You have to be a part of the team.
Right, right. Now, I mean, I've told some doctors, you know, you get those nasty doctors that are like, you'll call, what do you want? So, I had to have a couple come to Jesus's, you know. We need to handle this a little different, because I'm going to call you anyways. And these new nurses can't be scared to call you. So how do you want to do this? You know, so we've had a couple come to Jesus's where they, you know, pull them down off their high horse because they get cocky. You know, and it's not to say that I haven't caught things. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not to say that I don't know what I'm doing. But I also am supposed to trust that you know what the hell you're doing too. You know what I'm saying? So, like I said, I, as a nurse, I typically gather the information that I can, and pass it on to the doctor. And it's very important in my eyes to be, as she said, collaborative and communicative, because that's how we make it. Because we are the eyes. We are the people that are there 24/7 most of, you know, with the patient. So they do come in for 5 minutes. And a lot of the times their patient load has picked up so much that they can't, they're not reading these charts anymore. They're looking at numbers. They might look at the person's, like, last note, and that's it. So, you know, you want them to have a full picture at that point because they'll miss something. I mean, I done had a whole, you know, my grandmother's in the hospital, and they just, and she was in the hospital for a GI bleed. And if you know anything about a GI bleed, you shouldn't be on anticoagulants for a certain period of time. And if anything, not a strong one. I walk in, she's got a drip. I'm like, hello? Did anybody read the chart? But they put her on a drip because she stroked, not taking into account that she was just in the hospital for GI bleed. Oh. So, you know, you have to communicate with these folks.
And I, with the new doctors, because I was thinking about this, because I experienced both my older doctors and the 30, 40, 50-some age doctor, because we have a newer model. Some med schools have newer models where it's all about collaboration and teamwork. And it also depends on how the doctors, who their attendees are when they are in residency. And because of our technology and stuff that we have now, we're so advanced. I haven't encountered my younger doctors being so headstrong and not taking the sound advice or the facts or opinions of the nurses on the floor, or, like, you know, phone calls or whatever. Because we have, I don't know when the model changed or if it's with every med school, but with the med students that I have experienced so far, at the two med schools that I have experienced, they have been wonderful because there is more of a collaboration and teamwork aspect where you're looking at the patient holistically instead of just, this is the chart, these are the numbers, okay, this is what we're going to do. So, yeah, the new change hopefully trickles down from med school to med school, and we get those young new nurses or doctors, and, you know, and then we have more NPs and PAs in the world now. So they have had experience of being something else before they were in that position. So they bring more skills to the forefront of their field of being an ARNP or a PA.
Okay. That's what's up.
So, enough about nursing.
What
okay.
How are you going to say that?
Let's talk business. Let's talk turkey. Let's talk organization. Let's talk.
You need to get your phonics together.
Well, I was saying the word before you overtook me. The show ain't all about nursing. It's also about tiny docs. So let's talk about the tiny doctors that live underneath the stairs that help you and make you feel better when the big doctors fail and the nurses ain't doing their job. Because really, if you think about it, it's all about the tiny docs, right? It's all about the little docs.
The little docs. The little docs.
The ones that we don't think about. Because the tiny docs solve tiny bacteria problems.
Tell them, Pat.
Tiny virus problems. And they make the big impact. Because you can't, as a human, you can't interact with a virus. But a tiny doc can. So why don't you go ahead and tell them about tiny docs and break down, you know, what we got going on with all of the stuff with the tiny docs.
Tiny docs.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for that segue. So like I said before, I love nursing, and nurses can do anything in the aspect of what do you want to be next, or what do you want to be when you grow up, which isn't really what you want to be when you grow up, because you can keep on moving and keep on evolving. So I wanted to find something that I could do to serve my community. I wanted to combine nursing and education, because I love to educate too. And I was just trying to figure it out. What could I do in this world outside of the job that I have now and the jobs that I have had? So I created Tiny Docs Initiative. It is an organization that goes out into the community and teaches elementary age children about healthcare, teaches them simple medical techniques, how to check a blood pressure, what happens when you put a light in your eyes, what happens to your pupils, and it teaches them about medical terminology and how to become leaders or obtain those leadership skills. So that is like Tiny Docs Initiative, and it has grown. I became a CPR instructor, and with that, it has grown to now I am teaching 11 through 17-year-olds CPR, getting them certified in CPR, and teaching them extensive first aid skills and childhood development, like setting them up to be little young entrepreneurs if they want to become babysitters or get out into the world and do something different in leadership skills. So I am serving my community and reaching out to the youth, one in Tallahassee. So far I can do this in a classroom setting, like after-school setting, or birthday parties. And we can make it a party where they won't even know that they're really learning, but they are learning and being exposed, because it's all about exposure, right?
Right.
They're being exposed to, I think I might want to become a radiologist, and I could look at this broken bone and, you know, try to figure out where did it break at, or like be a therapist or a nurse, you know. And the other point that I was talking to Joe before we started the podcast is, even if these kids are exposed to Tiny Docs Initiative, to healthcare, and they figure out, I don't want to do any of this, this has no interest to me at all, guess what? They have that knowledge to make that informed decision that they don't really want to do this. And they're still have that knowledge. So it wasn't something against me or how I taught or against Tiny Docs at all, because they still have that moving forward, and they can make an informed decision about what they do and don't want to do. So that is Tiny Docs Initiative in a nutshell. If you are in Tallahassee, and we will travel, call us and we can set something up. The CPR is something new. It's CPR for adult organizations and for children. And that's something that when I thought about CPR for kids, how many times do you hear that people just panic, or like the 11-year-old got hit in the chest at a baseball game? You know, was somebody there that knew CPR? Or if somebody didn't know, did the child die? Or if they're babysitting their siblings, their younger siblings, would they know how to not panic and what to do next? Because I call them tiny future docs, they all have, can, if they have that knowledge, they can make that informed decision to what to do next. Let me just call 911 and I'm going to sit with you and I'm going to be calm. Or even if my 11-year-old doesn't know or doesn't have that, the strength to do compressions, she can be directing everybody else to what to do because she has that leadership skill now and she has that knowledge and can still save that life.
Right.
And then for the elementary age children, all they need is exposure because right now they might know what a doctor is and what a nurse is, and that's it. They probably don't know that they can be a phlebotomist. And then they can open up their own school later on.
Right.
All the other aspects of healthcare outside of I want to be a nurse, I want to be a doctor. They need to know that there's so much more to healthcare than just being a nurse and being a doctor. We aren't the only two people or the only two professions in healthcare that run the show. So that's my my business, exposure of youth from kindergarten, pre-K, all the way up through high school, getting them ready, having them in leadership roles or, you know, taking leadership skills and helping them to have critical thinking skills. So it's all about exposure.
But needed skills because I think it was either the last show or a couple shows ago, we were talking about how some economists are predicting that within the next 30 years that the landscape as far as jobs will change so dramatically with the introduction of artificial intelligence and using robots. So being able to equip a generation with skill sets that can't be replaced with robots is critical right now, especially for our people. So what you're doing is very needed. So,
I agree. I really like the initiative for multiple reasons. One, like you said, exposure is everything. I've had my kids, and I think they still think I'm a doctor. Like, I think they're just now realizing I'm a nurse, even though I've told them I'm a nurse. But, you know, I think for whatever reason, you know, they still think I'm a doctor. But even to that,
smart,
I mean, mommy. What were you saying?
I said, because you're so smart, mommy.
Okay. But even to that, you know, the thing about, like she was saying, if they have their babysitting, I mean, what about if their grandparent strokes or what about if, you know, they have a heart attack or something of that nature. We just had a situation at work where one of my coworkers was literally yelling at her daughter because she found her granddad in the bathroom passed out. And she was so scared she wouldn't go in the bathroom. And so you could just hear my coworker going ballistic in the midst of trying to get herself together to leave, you know, because her daughter, who happened to be, I think she's like 14 or 16, was just too scared to find out he might be dead, you know, which time is everything. Time is brain power, as we're told, you know. That's the longer you take to get oxygen to the brain, the more cells die. And so has she been equipped or, you know, she just was too scared to do it. And even as far as the exposure is concerned, and so many kids you ask out here these days, what do they want to be? And they don't know. And even like she said, even if they don't want to go into healthcare, I mean, I grew up wanting to be a neonatal practitioner all my life. And I did one rotation in neonatal and was like, that's not for me. And then my husband will tell you, the next step, you know, was like midwife. And I was like, I did one ER stint where I had to go search for somebody's tampon. And I was like, 3 years I wanted to be a midwife. That's down the drain. You know, and I'm grown at this point. So I think the exposure to the kids is awesome, where they can learn the different things about healthcare, and be informed. It helps guide them, you know, in talking to my husband, like sometimes he'll say, well, you got exposed. I was like, I don't even know how I came up with nurse. You know, he's like, well, you got exposed at an early age. You know, I was in the hospital at an early age. And so he said, you never know, that might have had some impact. And so I think when you can show these kids, especially the minority kids, because a lot of times they don't know. They don't know what it takes. They don't know. They really don't know that that option is available to them. They think CNA. They think, you know, nursing home. They think, and there's nothing wrong with these things, but that's where they start, especially in the impoverished communities. You know, they start off at the bottom of the totem pole instead of, you know, why not go for the RN? Why not go for the doctorate? Like, why are you all the way down here? You know, so, and like I said, there's nothing wrong with them. We need all of them. I love my CNAs. I love, my folks. And I'm just saying, our mentality is I'm going to go be a CNA, and I'm going to make $10 an hour, and life is good. No, you need to see somebody that look like you in that role, and I think that's why, you know, Dr. McStuffins was so successful, which is unfortunate because, you know, it was brewed by a white lady. But,
You got real life Dr. McStuffins, real life.
Dr. McStuffins, but the idea came from a white woman.
I know. Yeah, I know. I get what you're saying.
But some people heard about
this
that.
This is what I'm saying. So Tiny Docs is not about microscopic doctors?
He's so trifling. Leave it to him to play devil's advocate.
Beautiful Stephen A. soliloquy, you know, and it was hard and it was moving and people got goosebumps and chills. And, well, it's going to be about microscopic doctors in my mind, because the way I'm going to flip it, right, the way I'm going to flip it when I explain it to people is I'm going to say what she's doing is she's training children to grow up to be experts in LASIK surgery and other types of microscopic treatment options. Right? Does that work? No?
Maybe.
Yes.
What about this? She's exposing children.
Anyway.
To, come on, Joe. Come on, man.
I'm trying to help you, bro. Your comedy career dying right now.
I was going to talk about, like, tiny documents, not tiny doctors. So that was going to be good.
No. You all right? Anywho. Nah. But Nurse Arena. So being a black nurse who created this organization that's geared toward teaching, you know, the young children what they need to know about the medical industry at an early age. How do you, or have you thought about this, but how would you say that Tiny Docs Initiative, especially for the black community, could help eliminate some of the healthcare concerns that we have, and it doesn't have to be anything specific, but just some of the healthcare concerns that us as a people have. How do you think Tiny Docs Initiative will be able to alleviate some of those concerns?
She already answered that, Joe. Were you listening? Dang. Sometimes you gotta get off the
grid. You just got burned, homie.
Oh, my goodness. Y'all acting like my 6 and 8 year old now. Ooh, you just got burned. What does that even mean?
You got burned. Somebody called the fire department. You just got burned. Whoa.
Joe ain't saying nothing.
Nah, Joe's gonna come back with something that's gonna be real messed up.
That's why I ain't saying.
My mama said,
if I don't have nothing nice to say, I just don't need to say that at all.
It is. Yeah, don't worry, Tim. I'll drop a diss song on you later.
I do, you know, I do like the question in terms of, I'm always interested to hear about how black nurses feel about being a nurse and being black, because the healthcare field is so racist.
Right.
So I was trying to find a better word.
I don't know. So as
Nurse Tammy,
come back with this. I don't know that I think the healthcare field is racist.
Nurse Tammy,
say.
I want to ask Nurse Sharina first.
Yeah, but I mean, she's gonna come with it too.
Yeah, but
okay. I digress. I digress. Go ahead.
Well, so I think this is gonna. So let me just go back. So I have grandparents that have died within the past 10 years, and of course, you being in the healthcare field, whatever you are, they're gonna start calling you and saying, "What do you think about this? The doctor said this." So this is the medicine that I'm taking or whatever. But even though I got those questions from my grandparents, they still trusted whatever the doctor gave them and or whatever the diagnosis was, and they just said, okay. So, and I'm always like, what about the interaction? Let me look at this. Did you ask them this question? Did you ask them that question? No. But, you know, he's been my doctor for 50 years, so he knows me, he knows my family. This is what I'm doing. And they live in Louisiana. So the generation that I am in now and the generation that I have my little ones are in, I want them to be advocates for themselves. I want them to ask the right questions, do research, and don't just take for word what anybody has told them unless they're educated themselves. Okay, you think I have hypertension? Let me start to take my blood pressure a couple of, like a month or two. Okay, I will take this medicine now and let me see how it has improved or decreased and what the side effects are, what the interactions are. Don't just take the word, and this is in life, don't just take the word of one person unless you are, until you do your research for yourself, know what the side effects are and their interactions and how it's going to affect you. Because one, if it, whatever affects you affects the entire family, and it virtually is going to affect your community. That's with healthcare, that is with you studying for a test. If you're our fifth grader and you didn't bring your homework home, you know, that's going to affect your weekend, you know. So just don't take the word from one person until you do your research and be an active part of your healthcare field or your healthcare, period.
Right.
Like, you own it. It is you. You know what medications you're on. You know how it makes you feel when you take them all at one time versus splitting them up. If you are, and don't be fearful to ask questions. And when I say
I'm glad
research,
you said that.
Don't do your research on Dr. Google and it is like Wikipedia, like where anybody can put anything down. Like, get some sound articles and, you know, research going to websites that are credible. Don't just ask somebody else who was on the same medicine that you were on, like a neighbor, because you don't know what else is going on with them. They might have diabetes along with it. You don't. You just have blood pressure issues. Yeah.
I'm glad you answered that the way you did, because you kind of answered the next question I was going to ask, and you went into it because it was at, about things that clients can do to make the most of their healthcare visit. Because I know at my job, we put on, and you're invited to this too, we're putting on an event on FAMU's campus, and this will be our second time doing this, but the whole event is surrounded around teaching the clients and the patients how to make the most of their healthcare visit, because we know, you know, from working in like the clinical settings and being able to have access to that, we're seeing that there are too many people, no matter what background they come from, there's too many people who, when they go to the doctors, they're getting the minimum of their visit and not necessarily being able to learn as much as they can and understand as much as they can to be able to get as many resources as possible. And I'm glad you answered that way, because teaching people and encouraging people to go to the doctor, and remember the doctor works for you, so ask as many questions as possible and get as much information as possible.
And be respectful and knowledgeable about it, too.
Yeah.
If you're, like, demanding, you're not going to get any answers ever.
Right.
But
right.
The other thing, like, when I was talking about my grandparents, if I lived in Louisiana, I would have been there at all of their doctor's visits and been their advocate. So if you are a young person and you have elderly or special needs neighbors, or you know, like somebody that you can help, go and be their advocate too. Because a lot of people just take the word of somebody because they trust them unknowingly. Like if you've proven your trust to me, I'm all for it. Like yes, but some people need advocates with them. You always advocate for your child. Think about who else might need an advocate, because they just can't think about those other questions, or they are scared to ask questions, or think about the interactions. If I have six doctors, are they communicating? They probably aren't, but bring all of the paperwork, think for them a little bit to get all of the paperwork together to make sure that that physician or nurse practitioner, whoever, is looking at you in a holistic light, like all together, instead of just, I am your internist, this is what I'm working on, and that's it.
Right.
You know, and
right.
Pharmacists
right.
do that a lot. They look at all of the interactions when you go to CVS. But if you think you need to advocate for somebody, or you need somebody to help you with that, I think you're probably going to go over that in your at FAMU, then get some help with it too. I mean, you can't do it all by yourself. I mean, if you have a village, use your village.
Yes. So we've made it to the point where we down to our final question. Because we don't want to keep you, because we can talk, so we don't want to keep you on here all day, because we know you got other stuff to do. But we're down to our final question, and Pat asked that question, and you know, you already can tell he's a little special. So, you know, so we're setting this question up a little bit like this, so you should check this out, you know.
Flow so sick, like, who is this? Shucky Ducky Quack Quack Hamburger. All right. So.
What was that?
So,
okay.
Nurse Sharina, if you were the all powerful, all knowing, all controlling ruler of Black America, what would you change and what would your message to the people be?
To the people. All right. So I think I said this before I did. One thing that I would change from would be this class, this life skill class, in every classroom, in every grade. I would want someone to start this class of teaching children from the age of 4 through graduation in high school critical thinking skills. Our kids have, like, right now, I have 3 little people, and I say to them sometimes, y'all are so privileged. Like, we're middle class America. we both have degrees, we both have jobs, and some things that I struggled in as a living in a single parent household, they don't even know about. So I would want to teach them from the age of 4 through 18, 19, critical thinking skills, and have them experience that so they can use that in their life. How to manage money. If I spend this much amount of money, am I going to be able to pay my rent? Or how to save money so I can buy what I want to buy. Whatever their cause is, it's going to make have an effect on not just one community, like just everybody's life. Mm-hmm. So my message is that you have to be intentional in the way you live your life and the decisions that you make. And this is like a life skill in itself. If you say you want to be a writer and you're 6 years old, what plan do you need to make? What kind of intention do you need to have right now to make yourself a writer when you graduate? Or do you need to do, if your middle school has a newspaper, are you going to put yourself in that position to become an author in that newspaper? Just become intentional in your skill, in what you want to do in life, because your decisions really matter, and it affects everyone else in your community.
Yes, it does. And now we appreciate that, because we like the vastness of answers that we get for that question. So that's why we kind of like to ask that one in, because everybody comes different. So that's pretty cool. So,
yeah.
All right, so how can people find you? What's your website? What's your social media? How can people find you to contact you?
So I am on both Facebook and Instagram, Tiny Docs Initiative, LLC. I have a website, tinydocsinitiative.com, and you can just call me, 706-951-6347. I am able to communicate through phone calls, call me, or text me, or both contact me on Instagram or Facebook. Or on my website, too.
Yep,
I have a mailing list also if you want to know if you want to know anything about Tiny Docs Initiative, get on to the mailing list also. If you're not in Tallahassee, I can travel. So call me and let me know if you feel that there is a need in your community or you want to set something up for you personally, for your children. Or you see something in a future, I have touched something in your soul saying, I need that. I need this in my life, in my children's lives, in my neighbor's lives, at my school. Contact me and we can get something together. Because I am passionate about this. I want to impact as many kids as I can. That's going to change their future. It's going to change your future. It's going to change everyone's lives.
There you go. Got to invest in the future if you really want to change it. So that's exactly what she's doing. Her name is Nurse Serena. She is the founder of Tiny Docs Initiative, LLC. Remember, the website, once again, is tinydocsinitiative.com. So make sure you check her out. Nurse Serena, we definitely, definitely appreciate you being here with us on the Freedom Train podcast series. We learned a lot about you. We learned a lot about Tiny Docs Initiative and more about nursing and the healthcare field, and got some stuff that we can use to move forward. And definitely appreciate you giving that information, and we look forward to having you back on here in the future.
Anytime.
Yes, ma'am. So we will talk to you later.
All right. Thank you. Right. Bye, Patrick.
No
bye, nurse.
Bye.
Tiny Docs Initiative LLC, and she check it out once again, tinydocsinitiative.com. Tammy,
what it do?
Definitely appreciate you coming on, adding flavor to the conversation, adding your nursing experience and everything, and you know, adding some personality. And just remember this track coming on you, so don't try to act like, don't run from it. Don't run from it.
You gonna get this work.
Hey Tammy, I'm telling
Amen.
You, I learned two new words.
Yeah, we go back like four flats.
Hey, we go back like Stephen A. Smith hairline. But, hey, Pat.
Yo.
Patrick.
Yo.
Hey, what's your parting shot?
Power to the people.
Tammy, what's your parting shot?
Hello.
Hey, man, this is the Freedom Train podcast series. I'm your homeboy, Joseph Ward. You know, Patrick Irvin. Shout out to Nurse Tammy. You know how we get down. If, like I said in the beginning, you want to be cool, make sure you check us out. Follow us. Remember, we're on iTunes, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Radio Public. We out here. You can support Patrick and Lessons from the Screen on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/LFPS, Lessons from the Screen. Also, you can support the Fix Sports Podcast on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/TheFix. And we are here doing what we're doing, and we appreciate each and every one who listens to all of our podcasts and supports the network. So until next time, two fingers in the air like a true player, because you know we get it. Yeah, y'all.